This morning, I will be preaching from the sermon title, Unlimited Love. We've heard the Gospel of Luke read, but if you allow me a little indulgence, I'd like to focus your attention on just a piece. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. Once again, we wade into the deep waters with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Jesus is continuing his sermon on the plain, he introduces what I am going to call some hard sayings. He is teaching things that in our own power, we will be greatly challenged to do. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if someone slaps you on the face, turn your other cheek. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised by Linda Sue and Ronald Joe Howard, and they had very explicit instructions for us if someone slapped us on our face. My parents were very clear. If someone slaps you, you slap them. Oh, y'all had some different parents. If someone hit you, you hit them back. It sounds like I'm the only one who got that instruction, but I know that I'm not the only one because I have slapped some faces and gotten my face slapped back. So someone has heard that edict as well, that if someone hits you, your reply must be to hit them back. I have wrestled all week with this sermon because all week playing in the back of my head alongside the words of Jesus was the words of my mother and my father and the words of experience that if someone hits me, I need to hit them back. Certainly not to let them hit me again. Because if there's one thing I learned on the crucible of the playground, is that if you let someone hit you once, they will hit you again. If you let them hit you again, they will hit you again. If you let them hit you a third and a fourth time, they will hit you a fifth and a... And not only will they hit you, but all of the other children on the playgrounds will get the message that Ronell's face can be slapped. And we can't have that, can we? This face is far too pretty to be walking around getting slapped right and left. And so as I struggled all week with Jesus telling me that if someone strikes me on my cheek, to let them strike the other, and as I struggled with my own sense of power and my own sense of autonomy and right over my body, I had to say, Jesus, what are you talking about? And Jesus opens his pericope with, we must be willing to hear. My problem all week was I was not willing to hear what Jesus had to say about being mistreated. I was not willing to hear about loving someone who hates me. I was not willing to hear about how I should do good to those who don't do good to me. I was not willing to hear about blessing people who curse me and to pray for people who mistreat me and to allow someone to slap me twice. No, Jesus, no. Yesterday we had a training, and we were training liturgists right here in this sanctuary. And the liturgists were practicing reading the scripture. And every time one of the persons would come up and read this scripture and they would get to that part, I couldn't help it. I shouted out, no. Every single time, everything in my body said, oh, no, Jesus, oh, no. You're all wrong about that. Jesus knew that what he was about to say to the people there on that plain somewhere in Galilee and that we overhear today was going to be difficult for many of us to hear and to accept. But Jesus' golden rule is simple. Just as you wish that people would act towards you, act precisely that way towards them. Jesus is calling on us to abandon the cycle of retribution and violence. Reject at least this self-defeating logic of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Because you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In the Old Testament, that was used to keep people from going overboard in their vengeance against another. So that if someone took out your eye, according to the Old Testament, you had the right to take out their eye. If they knocked out your tooth, you had the right to just knock out their tooth. Do tit for tat. What they did to you, you do the exact same thing to them. But could you imagine if every time someone took out someone's eye, you took out their eye? We'd be walking around full of people with one eyes, seeing only half of what the world has to offer. God, Jesus doesn't want us walking around taking eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Indiscretion for indiscretion, broken leg for broken leg, everything for everything. Jesus said that if we are going to be the children of God, as difficult as it is, as unreasonable as it seems, when we are met with hate, distrust, violence, mistreatment, curses rather than blessings, slaps on one cheek, that we are to rise above because we can't go on as children of God playing tit for tat. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, The Godfather. Who here likes The Godfather? The Godfather 1 is one of my favorite movies. Though quite violent, there are so many life nuggets to be picked up. In this movie, it centers around a mafia family, the Corleones. And if anyone who knows about this story knows that in the Corleone family, there were three brothers and one sister. And the oldest brother's name was Santino. They called him Sonny. Santino was a fiery individual. He was quick to anger and quick to violence. He was the oldest son and the one who was in control of his father's dynasty while his father was sick. Well, Santino was also the brother-in-law of a man who would put his hands on his sister. So we have Santino and a sister whose husband is putting his hands on her. And anytime that would happen, Santino would get frothing at the mouth, angry. He would go hunt down his brother-in-law, kick his behind a little bit, and go off on his business. And so everyone watched how Santino responded to a slap on the face. And so the other mob families got together, put a plot together, had his brother-in-law put his hands on his sister again, had she then called her brother Santino to cry and say how he'd hit her again. Santino, in true Santino fashion, got his hat, put on his jacket, jumped in his car, didn't wait for security, zoomed out on his way to confront his brother-in-law with a beating that he would never forget. But before he could get there, the squad was waiting with machine guns, handguns, shot up the car, Santino's body riddled with bullets. The Don is called. He goes to the funeral home where his son's beaten, bloodied, bullet-ridden body lay on the slab. And Don Corleone looked at his son and said to the undertaker, "Look what they did to my boy." I can't do it like Marlon Brando. I don't have the cheeks. "Look what they did to my boy." Don Corleone, like all of you, loved his child. Santino had his heart. And he's standing over his body and witnessing what has happened to his son. Now, anyone would say, if anyone has the right to go on a rampage of anger, looking out and searching out all of those who did this to their son, it is Don Corleone. But Don Corleone does something that goes against all rationale, anything that we would think. He goes against type, against his vocation as a gangster, and against all the odds by calling a meeting instead. He calls all the other heads of all of the other mafia families together. He sits them down and he explains to them that I have lost my son. I'm not going to go out and seek revenge. I am going to let it end here. Because if I go out and kill your son, then you will come and kill two of my other sons. And then we'll all be sitting around sonless. Don Corleone sacrificed his justified outrage and hatred towards his enemies, rendering them in the process not enemies at all, but fellow sinners forgiven by God. In Jesus' call to treat people the way you want to be treated, Jesus calls us to love our enemies, even those who hurt, curse, hit, and steal from us. No exceptions. Christians like me have struggled with these words for centuries, asking questions like, how can I love my neighbors if they are actively doing hurtful things to me and people I love? We ask this question even as we forget that we have been the enemies in need of love. What I believe that Don Corleone thought about as he stood over his son's bullet-riddled body, all of the sons that he had ordered taken out. He thought about all of the times that he had chosen violence over love. He thought about the tears of the parents whom he had murdered. He thought about the pain that he had caused others and decided that the only way that the pain would stop was if it stopped with him. The only way this cycle of violence could come to an end is if one person decides that they are not going to treat people the way that they have been treated, but rather treat them as they would want to be treated. Jesus is calling on us to remember. Remember that while we were yet sinners, that he gave his life for us. While we were caught up in doing wrong and being wrong, that the God of love did not forsake us. The God of love did not leave us to wallow in the mess of our own making. The God of love did not turn his back on us when we turned our back on her. Jesus is calling us to remember that we are all sinners saved by grace. We are all those who fall short of the glory of God and who need God's mercy. We are all those who offend as well as those who are offended. Jesus tells us that it's easy to love those who love us. It's easy to do good to those who do good to us and to lend to those who are able to lend back to us. Even sinners like us can do that. I call it the monstrosity of reciprocity, where any and everything that you do depends on whether or not it can be paid back in kind. Quid pro quo. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. One hand washes the other. But if we want to be more like Jesus, if we want to behave like the children of the Most High God that we are, we are going to have to do better than that. We are going to have to love beyond those who love us. Do good to those who would not even lift a finger to do good for us. We're going to have to be able to give to those who we know doggone good and well will never be able to give back to us. Jesus is calling us to do the extra thing. Jesus tells us that there is a blessing on the other side of doing this extra thing. So often we think that reciprocity is just about quid pro quo, just about you doing for me as I do for you. But Jesus tells us there is another reciprocity that we have to be concerned about. And in case you didn't know it, I'm into the good news. The good news is that Jesus tells us in the final verse of this pericope that give and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in turn. We are to treat people the way we want to be treated because we are going to need that same forgiveness and that same mercy meted out upon us. It will make us finally in good relationship with the Most High God when we realize that everything that we do is being poured into a cup, that it is being packed down and shaken so that it will eventually overflow with the goodness of God. What God is trying to tell us today is the way we respond to how people painfully and even sometimes evilly mistreat us, God rewards in kind. Sometimes we want those mean people in our lives to come back to us fully repentant. We want them to give us the blessing that we deserve for not slapping them back on their face. But what Jesus is telling us this morning is that that person who slapped you on that face, if that person who stole from you, if that person who hated you, if that person who cursed you never comes back and apologizes, if the person who flipped you the bird after they cut you off on the expressway never slows down at the next exit to apologize, if the person who cheated on you and made you cry and feel like you no longer wanted to live never comes back and apologizes, if the person who ran the Ponzi scheme that took all the money out of your retirement fund never apologizes and never gives you back your money, that you don't have to worry about getting your returns from them, it is God who offers the blessing for how you respond. Jesus puts the cherry on top of the portion of love when he says that what you give out will determine the portion of love you receive in return from God. Have you ever noticed that the people who are mean and vindictive are usually the same people who are alone and unloved? What you fail to realize is those people who are mistreating you, those people who are not loving you in the way that you deserve to be loved as a child of God, are building their own house of misery. You don't have to heap nothing on them. You don't have to slap their face because they go home alone slapping their own face, being in their own misery, unhappy and unfulfilled and unconnected to the Most High God. You don't have to slap back because God has a way of healing all of our wounds. And the good news for us today, since I've already told you that we are all going to be on both sides of this coin, is that the Most High God, even for those hateful behaviors that people render unto you, even to those people, God has mercy. God shows forgiveness. God allows for reconciliation. And that's good news for us because one day we will be that person in need of forgiveness, in need of mercy, in need of a love that surpasses all understanding. So, to all of you who are like me, who have struggled with this scripture, and the sound and the seeming message from Jesus that we are to take all of the abuse that the world can heap upon us, rest assured that you have a God who is faithfully watching over not only you, but the one who is doing the heaping. And just as that God has entered into your heart and broken inside of you and filled you with a spirit of love and forgiveness and mercy, that same God works on the heart of your enemy. And by us showing the example of Jesus and of Don Corleone and arresting the violence and the hatred and the curses and stopping them with us, we allow for God's love to flourish. So much that it overflows the cup, pours out of us and onto even that enemy. And it is this love that will heal the world. Amen.